Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So what's going on in the state where politics, where it's real politics, is none of this pansy politics that we have out here in California? Go ahead.
You were about to say about Hillary?
We know Hillary's from Park Ridge, Illinois. Between her and Sanders, who seems to be more of a closet Alinsky, what's your take on who's going to get the delegates?
I really think Hillary's going to get it.
Or steal it, as some people think.
Well, I don't see. You still have even in the Democratic Party here in Illinois, you still have a kind of a conservative element. And the fact that Bernie Sanders identified himself as a self-identified, well, at the time, you know, now he just goes as a Democrat. But the fact that there was the socialist tag, unfortunately, in this country, the minute you mention socialist, a lot of people think communist. And as you know, it's not the same thing. But that's the perception you have, especially among old-line Democrats.
Well, who are these millennials they keep talking about? Is this another? We were both involved in the 1968 campaign. At least I worked for McCarthy and took Eugene McCarthy, that McCarthy. you know, it was clean gene. We were opposed to the war. And, of course, the old bulls in the Democratic Party shoved Hubert down our throats.
Right.
And he lost the election. So now we hear that the millennials are not going to take Hillary shoved down their throats, as one person mentioned to me, and that's why they support Sanders. What's your take on that?
Well, I get the impression that the millennials, many of them are basically spoiled brats, frat boys, that kind of thing. The minute anything difficult comes up, like a difficult political campaign, you're going to find half of them are going to go off and play lacrosse or something like that.
or sip their Chardonnay while snorting their Coke.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or,
yeah.
Or designer beers. By the way, do you have designer beers back there?
We have designer beers here. Yes.
Oh, it's not the
they call them craft beers. And yes, now I said craft, not crap, because some of the beers are quite good. But you know, one of my beefs with beers here in Chicago, except for certain places, you know, beer was not meant to be served ice cold.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Guinness was not meant to be served cold. It was meant to be served at room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
In places I have been, both in Europe and in certainly in Ireland, beers and stouts and that kind of thing are served at room temperature. There's nothing that ruins the taste of a good beer faster than, you know, serving it frosty. If you want frosty, go get a Coke or a root beer.
By the way, we just saw a sign in Safeway. Coca-Cola is now being made in Mexico.
Well, I'm not surprised. They make everything else in Mexico. As a matter of fact, there's a kind of a mini boycott against Oreo cookies because the baking company is having a fight with the union, and they're threatening to close down their bakeries here in Chicago and moving it to Mexico.
So Trump does have a point.
Trump is absolutely right there. As a matter of fact, my son-in-law was one of the people that passed that bit of information on to Trump's campaign.
Oh, wow. So there are. This is a surprising campaign, although I wish they toned down the language. When they start talking about referring to one another's nether parts and that sort of thing, and, you know, things have gotten really bad. Of course, Hillary, you know, according to, I think his name is Klein, Ed Klein, has written two exposés. Another one just came out on Hillary, in which he lambasted the Secret Service White House detail as effers and all kinds of other language. And they put down their life to save the wrench. You know, I mean, that's another reason I'm opposed to her. You know, she has no respect.
Yeah. She's an opportunist. And as a matter of fact, I am still not quite sure whether or not she shouldn't be in very, very hot water for taking some of those emails.
Oh, not only that. Yeah,
and putting some of that information on her husband's computer, which was in the garage.
God.
Now, you know, I mean, some of that is sensitive information. She, of all people, ought to be, I mean, doesn't she ever watch Madam Secretary? She, of all people, ought to understand there are certain security sensitivities here, which I don't care if she was the Secretary of State, I don't care if she was a U.S. Senator, she still got to play the game by those rules, too.
Oh,
and if she, you know, and remember, the old World War II saying, loose lips sink ships.
We're more than loose lips in this case.
Yeah.
Patrick, go ahead.
Exactly. And the fact of the matter is, too many people, I think, are trying to give her a pass. Whereas if this were something that were done by a clerk in the State Department or by a corporal or even a sergeant in the military, all hell would be breaking loose. I mean, we have shot guys for violating security procedures, not in this century, but in past decades, guys have been shot for that.
Witness
the pile of papers that were on very often on Lincoln's desk, you know, for people who were about to be shot for sleeping on guard duty, who were about to be shot for doing stupid things that meant getting information into the enemy. Of course, bear in mind, at that time, all the spies on both sides had to do was read each other's newspapers. Because both sides, it isn't the newspaper reporter's fault. both sides were in the habit of giving information that was sensitive information to newspaper reporters that they liked. And when General Sherman threatened to shoot the first reporter that rode into his camp, he wasn't entirely wrong in making that threat, because the fact of the matter is, some of these guys were sending in their stories information which got people killed.
Yeah, oh yes. Well, we've got that transgender in Leavenworth. I forgot his name. He turned over all this, these cables and stuff, or released them in a snit because he had a fight with his boyfriend. I forgot
right.
his name. Manning.
Manning.
And then,
I'm of two minds.
He should have been shot.
I'm of two minds what should be done. One is he should have been shot. The other is he should be, simply because he now goes by a female name and identifies himself as such, he should be put into a short cheerleader's tutu and thrown into one of the really badass prisons.
The Leavenworth is no country club like.
I understand that. No, but I'm talking about some of these southern county jails.
Oh, right. Yeah,
where the worst thing that can happen to you when you get thrown into a cell, there's this guy, he's got a strange smile on his face,
right.
And he says, "My name's Bubba. I like you."
That's what's going down this tier. I'll use that phrase. How is Rubio going over in the Latinos in Cook County?
I don't know, but you know, I've had three people ask me if Rubio and Cruz are Opus Dei.
No, Cruz is not Catholic. But
Rubio,
yeah, his father's a fundamentalist.
I know his father's a fundamentalist preacher, but I thought Cruz was a crypto-Catholic.
Well, it may be a crypto-Catholic. Well, my problem with Rubio is that if these exposés are correct or accurate about a guy named Barrios who is running an escort service and phone parties, and now the male prostitution.
Barrios, isn't that the Hispanic name for a ghetto?
Well, this is a
living in the barrio,
or Barrios, one of the spellings, and he had a long time relationship with this guy. Anyway, the Bay Reporter, which is a male prostitution pedophile paper out here, has just endorsed Hillary and what's his name, Marco Rubio, and you know, here's the contradiction. He claims he's opposed to gay marriage. Now, if he's opposed to gay marriage, why is he accepting his endorsement? See, I think they've got him, hogtied
on that. Because they're votes, and you will swallow all kinds of things if it's...
he already has, according to his critics. Patrick, I will not go further down that tier.
It can turn out to be a real pain in the ass.
On 1530, Henry VIII was excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church, and he declared himself, head of the Church of England.
Head of his own church, and as a matter of fact, he insisted for years that he was the true Catholic and not the Pope.
Well, he did write that famous book or whatever it was, which gave him the Pope gave him the title Defender of the Faith, and they still use it even today in coronations.
That's right. And as a matter of fact, that was before, of course, he broke with Rome. But even after he broke with Rome, he insisted that it was the Pope who had forgotten the basic rules of the Catholic Church, and that he was the true... He was convinced when he died, he was convinced he died a Catholic.
Well,
I mean, really.
I think he had a mental problem after all those jousting in which he was injured. But one of the reasons...
That's been suggested. As a matter of fact, seriously, that has been suggested that he... Because when he first became king, he was very conscientious. And as a matter of fact, he was very lean and mean on the jousting field.
Right.
But after several accidents is when he started getting very, very self-indulgent and started eating too much and playing too much and not
mm-hmm.
paying attention
mm-hmm.
to what they were paying him the big bucks for,
right.
which was to run a kingdom. And, I mean, I can understand his lust for Anne Boleyn, whose mother was a butler, incidentally. Seriously.
Now we know where it comes from.
Hey, I'm no more horny. I'm no more horny than the next guy. As a matter of fact,
you don't have to
in
do.
Fact,
you don't have to. I'm not your confessor.
I know. Even my confessor tells me I'm not any more horny, and he says, as a world class citizen, as a world class sinner, you've got a long way to go. So.
Well, I had my last confessor said to me, try to work on it. I won't.
Well, they all say that, and then of course it's three Hail Marys and three Our Fathers.
Right, right.
And
well, I've had worse than that.
And put something in the poor box.
No, they're not doing the shakedown anymore. Well, the reason I bring it up, Patrick, because one of the reasons Henry VIII claimed that you know that he had to start his own church. It was that the monasteries were full of sodomites and all that. And which brings me to this point, the movie Spotlight in the Boston Globe newspaper. So what's the situation among the priests in Cook County, in the Catholic Archdiocese there?
Well, as you might expect, you've got a majority of them are very, very good priests who are trying to live by their vows. And you have a percentage, and I don't know exactly what percentage, but you have a percentage, you know, who are kind of cutting some corners here and there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I don't know who's, you know, I don't know who's guilty of what or anything like that, but I do believe a majority of the priests in Chicago
mm-hmm.
are trying their damnedest to do their best. But you do have a certain number. You saw Spotlight, did you?
No, I haven't, but I've heard about it.
Oh, go run to
see
it.
I will see it.
Seriously. It's absolutely incredible. And mm-hmm. one of the things that you may or may not be aware of, you know, Cardinal Law was when it looked like he was going to be subpoenaed and possibly indicted, Cardinal Law was given an assignment in Rome. In the Vatican, which,
right.
of course, is a sovereign country.
Right.
And, you know, we can't touch him as long as he stays there. But
he's still alive.
I found it rather interesting. Mm-hmm. At the funeral of Pope John Paul II,
mm-hmm.
Guess who was on the altar?
Don't tell me Law.
Law.
Is he still living?
Yeah, he's still living. He's living in great comfort in Rome. I saw his house.
Oh my goodness!
When I was in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's living nicely. Yeah.
Well, we had getting back to the scandal here in San Francisco, and this diocese is not an arch. Yeah, I guess it would be archdiocese because you have an archbishop. One of the brother. Kelly Cullen, I don't think he was a Franciscan, he started this Tenderloin Housing Development Corporation in the Tenderloin next to Polk Street. And one of his tenants, a gay boy, told me that Brother Kelly allowed his tenants to bring their, quote, homeless from Polk Street to their apartments. And it'd go further. Well, anyway, Brother Kelly came down with AIDS. He quit and went to Rome, and he was seen in a gay bar in Rome. And then the Roman police reported that he was found dead in a park frequented by homosexuals in Rome. It was covered up here in San Francisco, like everything else. You know,
right?
Right. It's what I
well,
call the
only thing I can the only thing I can say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me for just a second, but the observation comes to me that you know. Sometimes the shepherd needs the comfort of the sheep.
Well, I don't know if Kelly Cullen enjoyed the young boys or what we call Polk Street Prince.
Where do you think, where would he have gotten AIDS?
Well, he could have got him. We had a bishop that got it, and they quietly removed him.
Yes.
We had priests.
And do you think that they could have gotten it from needles? This is true.
Right.
They could have gotten it through a bad blood transfusion. This is true.
No, I don't think he got one.
But more frequently, it comes through an exchange of body fluids.
Yes,
now,
we will go no further down that line, Patrick.
But I think, you know, you can go with the flow here.
I did some of these people, and they're still doing it. Well, by the way, we've had some, I think they were Filipino nuns that raped a girl. This was in the Oakland diocese.
Filipino nuns raped a girl? How does a female rape someone?
It happens. We, in the school district when I was there, they had lesbian school gym teachers rape a girl in the showers. So the kids don't want to take
showers. What did they use? A consecrated dildo or something like that?
I don't know. Yeah. And I didn't want to know. I mean, like I keep saying that when I covered the American Bar Association, Hillary came to speak, and I went. There were three males, two others besides myself, went in to cover the meeting, and all these lesbians there were just salivating over Hillary, and I was going, oh my God. And all of us, the three males, all three of us felt uncomfortable. But, you know, that's the only time I saw her up close, and I must say she's got a powerful lure, but I wouldn't trust her. I consider her, she has all the cunning of Lucrezia Borgia, but none of the class.
Well, this is true. This is true.
And Madame Lepage, too.
Yeah, I've met her husband, and I've seen her, but I never actually met her. But, you know, yeah, I've heard stories that she was, shall we say, rather flexible.
Well, her husband is such things, you know. Well, getting back to her just for a little bit, one of the other national security issues is, quote, her great and good friend, Huma. Huma's family's involved with the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, to me, I mean, that used to get you bounced out of the State Department, even the hint of those kind of relationships or connections.
Right. Yeah.
You know, or even out of the military.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, it used to be that, I mean, the idea is they want you to have sources there, but they don't want you to lay down and become too close to them. I mean, there was a time when if I were working for the State Department or even U.S. military intelligence, and they thought that I was too friendly with, let's say, the IRA, and I've been suspected of that by some people on the North Side, which is not true. I have never been a member or a supporter. But the fact of the matter is that used to be enough to get you bounced from the State Department or transferred out of military intelligence.
Oh, yeah, no, it's your security risk. They can't risk it. It's too dangerous.
Because remember, the IRA was, as sympathetic as we may be towards some of the long-term goals, the IRA was working against an ally of the United States. And frankly, at one point, receiving arms from Libya.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, they supported Hitler. Some of them did during World War II.
Yeah, and at the same time,
and even
time,
in World War I, too, yeah.
Well, during World War I, there were no Nazis running around. And during
you supported the Germans.
The Germans and the Irish revolutionaries had struck an understanding that if the Irish revolutionaries would rise up against the British, and the Germans won the war, and there was a time when it looked like they could have, First World War.
Right.
And the Germans had won the war. Why, part of the peace treaty would require that Great Britain give up claim to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So there was, you know, there was an alliance. And as a matter of fact, the Germans were shipping all kinds of weapons to the IRA and other groups, you know, Fenian type groups, and you know, that was one of the reasons why 100 years ago during the 1916 Rising. That's the one in Dublin, not in Jerusalem.
That's 2 weeks from now.
and during the 1916 Rising, they executed the leaders because of the fact that they were aiding and abetting the enemy.
Right,
because
right.
they were at war with Germany at that time.
They should have executed Eamon de Valera.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, he was on the list of people to be executed. But because he was an American, because Woodrow Wilson and a few others intervened on his behalf, they spared him. But, you know, it did you see the movie Michael Collins?
Oh, it was a great movie. I recommend it.
Yes.
And the one you told me about, the weeds, what the hell was it?
The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
Barley.
Yeah.
Oh, what a film. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, some of the best films come out on those citizen, you know, revolutionary politics come, you know, come out of.
Well, there were a couple Irish revolutionary films which were done by BBC, and they were well balanced. I mean, they really were. Now, The Wind That Shakes the Barley was not BBC, but
no,
there was another. There was another one on the Rising. That was done by BBC, and it was very even-handed. I mean, at first, when someone said, "Let's watch this," it's a BBC movie about the Revolution. I kind of thought, "Oh, we'll see a bunch of Her Majesty's propaganda." But the truth of the matter is that it could have been shown in Dublin, and probably was, because it was. I mean, my daughter, who teaches history. At a Catholic high school in Alsip, my daughter will probably show that movie to her class.
Good.
She's very, very active in, you know, this whole Irish nationalism thing. So
we will yet pluck that shamrock.
Well, she was the one of the big wigs in the Irish club at Loyola University, so she's. I pissed her off once when I had Martin McGuinness's Advance Men staying at my apartment before McGuinness came into Chicago, and I was told that these guys were publicity people. Their job was to work with the press. Well, when they got up to my place and we decided to order in. They take off their jackets, and they're carrying 45s, and one guy had an Uzi. And I said to the guy, "Now I know you weren't carrying those when you got on the plane to come over here." And they says, "Oh no," he says, "a couple of Chicago's finest were waiting at the airport, and they gave it to us."
Oh, okay, Pat, we got disconnected, but that's all right. Question. It's been said that Chicago, Cook County, has the best water in the country. Now, has the Flint situation, the pollution or contamination of their water, are Cook County environmental officials more aware of the possibility that Cook County water or Lake Michigan water can be contaminated? Or Chicago
River water? I'm sure they're aware of it. And as a matter of fact, a friend of mine is on the, what used to be the Sanitary Commission. He's their expert on poop, but he also knows, you know, yeah, really. Next time I run into him, and I'll run into him probably this next week at the Irish Center because he and his wife go to all these events. He's Hispanic, she's Irish, but they're both very active in the Irish Center. I'll ask him about that.
Because
it'll be, you know, from someone who knows. And then I also know Alderman Thompson, who is Mayor Richard J. Daley's nephew, And I run into him rather often, so I could ask him too, because he used to be on the Sanitary Commission.
Go ahead, Pat.
I can get that information for you.
I asked you a while back, and I discussed this with General Berrigan, who was in Chicago working on the St. Lawrence Seaway, the American side. And I asked him about the lamprey eels and all that. Have you heard any, and I asked you about this a while ago. Have you heard anything lately about these eels still in Lake Michigan?
No, as a matter of fact, maybe we ate them all. I don't know. But,
you're Vietnamese, maybe.
Have you ever had eel?
No, I'm very conservative. You know.
Okay. I've eaten eel, and it's good. And I would certainly not hesitate to eat it again. In fact, I had eel the last time I was in San Francisco in Chinatown.
Oh, okay. Well. All you got to do is go to Saudi Arabia and eat sheep eyes.
See, I've not had them, but I understand they can be good.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I don't even eat caviar anymore. I'm that, you know, ever since bologna and hot dogs and all that stuff and the things that the nuns did to donuts and things, Hostess cupcakes, you know, I've just become very arch conservative when it comes to food.
What did the nuns do to the donuts? I thought that was what the brothers did to the donuts that we needed
to be concerned with. In senior year, the Continental Bakeries, which produce those things, offered to donate their surplus to various Catholic schools, and I was chosen to go and collect. And so we got the Hostess. You were graduated by that time, but they got the Hostess, you know, Twinkies, the donuts, and the nuns would refry them, and they did things to those chocolate cupcakes and all that, and it just turned me off. And when I learned it was one of the substances used was plastic, and I'm allergic to food dyes, I just pass. I'd make a great monk.
He'll just pass.
Go ahead.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, I worked at the bakery, in the bakery at Maryville for a while, and when we would have Bismarcks and we would have donuts.
Right.
And frankly, I was always afraid because there were a couple guys there that I wasn't sure of. I was always afraid.
Say no more. I worked there, too. We didn't have that problem.
I mean, some of the Bismarcks had cherry filling, and some of the Bismarcks had a kind of a lemon-looking filling.
Right.
And I often wondered, really, if it had anything to do with lemon.
I worked there, and they were very careful. I still remember what we did. On Monday, every day we rolled bread. Then we did pies, Bismarcks, cakes, and buns. And the Barsottis ran the bakery, and they were very careful to make sure that people just did roll and not roll in it.
Well.
Patrick, we must do our St. Patrick's Day. You know, my favorite, Twit the Irish, pluck that shamrock. So come up with something to defend that your accursed race.
Well, my accursed race needs no defending, given the fact that it has stood up for the cause of liberty for hundreds and hundreds of years. It has been a beacon light of knowledge and understanding and Christian civilization for much of Europe since virtually the Roman Empire. And, you know, what more can I say? I mean,
a lot more.
Actually, when I was at the Irish Center, I was there for the dedication at our library, and they had two books in the library that when they were showing me through, because I was doing a story on this for the paper, one was Wild Irish Women. So I picked it up And the person who was taking me through, who knew me, said, Pat, that's a history book, not a guidebook. And then she pulled out another book. She said, now, this is not about you, although the title applies. And the name of it was I, Patrick, a Sinner.
Patrick, St. Patrick's Day is on the Thursday, but instead we'll do a day early on the 16th. The 4 o'clock sound okay?
I mean, the 16th is on a Wednesday?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that works.
Okay,
that works.
So our annual.
What do you want to cover?
Well, the Irish, if you can cover. You're going to cover.
Well, yeah, but that's a very, very broad subject. I mean, do we talk about Irish cooking? Do we talk about Irish women? Do we talk about Irish religious practices? I mean, do we talk about Irish music and, you know, how it... you have a music background. You
right.
must be well aware of the fact that the Irish in particular have been noted for stealing tunes and rewriting the words for whatever occasion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously.
That I have to concede to the Irish. What else are you going to do when you get loaded? You got to sing.
Well, this is true. And you know, yeah, as a matter of fact, when I was first assigned to cover the northwest side of Chicago, Edison Park, that area there,
mm-hmm.
And I went to this one meeting, and I met the alderman, and I met the police commander, and we decided to go for a couple beers after that. And I knew I was in good hands and that I was going to get along very well with these people when we closed the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning singing A Nation Once Again.
All right, man. Well, we can. One thing I'd like to bring up is the San Patricio.
Yeah.
A lot of people know nothing about this. I was just horrified when I saw that movie. I couldn't believe what they did to that guy. Branded him on the wrong cheek and then decided to use the other cheek, among
right.
other things. And then 50 lashes. I mean, we're bad as the British Navy. You know?
Well, as a matter of fact, where do you think they got the idea? You know, for I mean, the fact of the matter is the treatment of the Irish by the American Army was horrendous.
Mm-hmm. Until the Civil War came along, they needed bodies.
Well, actually, the Civil War is what really made us full-scale, full first-class citizens. If it hadn't been for the Civil War, well, because of the fact that they needed people, and you can't oppress people
right.
and give them a gun and give some of them, anyway,
mm-hmm.
command of 1,000 or 2,000 men
mm-hmm.
and then expect that they're going to, when this is all over, go back home and be subservient again.
Right.
That doesn't
work.
You know,
we can draw an analogy with what Hitler did in Russia when the Barbarossa, that campaign went into the Ukraine, and the anti-communists welcomed the Wehrmacht with open arms until the SS and the Einsatz groups came in and started to, you know, execute those people and enslave them and all that. That's a perfect example. You can't do that.
Well, a better example, actually, was what happened with the blacks in the First World War, and to a greater extent in the Second World War. The blacks went into the army along with everyone else.
Right.
And when they came back, they weren't so anxious to get served in the back of the restaurant anymore. They wanted to sit in the restaurant with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you couldn't treat them like second class citizens. After you give a person a gun and give him a little bit of authority, he's not going to go back to
right.
what he was before.
Right.
And,
oh yeah. No. It's
so any time you have that sort of, you know, segregation or discrimination or whatever. Hope to God you don't find yourself in the middle of a war where you need these people, because when they come back home, they're not going to go back, you know, and live like they did before.
Right. Well,
that's why the civil rights movement was so successful in the 1950s and 60s.
Right.
Because we can bring this up because that's
important. And it's part of history. A lot of people
know. And the Civil War really is what gave the Irish their full civil rights.
That's an interesting approach to it. Yeah, and let's deal with it. We're generous. We give you credit when you deserve it, but not that often.
And, I'm not a gun nut, but I do believe that sometimes if you give someone a gun, it puts him in a position of deciding his own destiny that he wasn't in before.
Right.
Something can be said for. Well, there was an article that ran in the Chicago Tribune during the time of the Civil War, and they were concerned about what was going to happen after the war was over. And in this editorial, it said, "When Patty returns home, will he and Kathleen settle for the menial jobs that they had before?"
Good point.
And it's true.
Well, I'll end with this. This Nikki Haley. Her parents are from India. Had they emigrated to England, they'd have been treated like wolves. And she made this asinine statement that there were no anti-immigration laws and treatment. And I just hit the roof. And I said,
there were no anti-immigration laws where?
In America that we didn't pass any. And I said, wait a minute, Chinese Exclusion Act, how the Irish were treated. Poles, Germans, Italians, Jews, it's just utterly asinine.
The only reason the Indians, East Indians,
got into this
country in such numbers was because of the fact that a number of immigration laws were changed in the 1950s and early 60s. Because prior to that time, the real favor was given to those from Western European nations.
Yeah, Northern Europe. And I was just looking at, all the immigration laws that were passed. And it wasn't until 1943 that they overturned the Chinese Exclusion Act because we needed the Chinese to fight in Asia.
Well, that's right.
Chiang Kai-shek. Okay, Pat, let's prepare for the 16th. And, we'll hype this, and you think of some things that I don't know about, and I'll think of I'll find some of the sins that are not exposed about the Irish.
Well, what sins could you possibly think of? I mean,
political corruption, the Green Machine, the Daily, what's his name, McKelly Machine. I think of a lot. Tammany Hall.
You can't take care of your own, you are doing a disservice to the people who gave you life.
We can have some fun on that with that. You take
Aren't
care.
We supposed to? Okay, talk to you later. Bye. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay. We're going to. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay. Let's see our. Going in with our usual. Yep.
Ben, want a hand?
No, you can go ahead. I got
all right, it'll be a minute.
To play poker.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you open the back door? I'll be there.
Cost you five.
I'm just ending right now.
Up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen. Here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace Betts.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley?
are you thinking of Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Yeah, we're ending early. We'll be back Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we'll be working on our upcoming Trash the Irish. It's some of the things you didn't know about the Irish and some of the things you don't want to know. So stay safe. I guess it's sunny back east. We're going to be swimming out here on the West Coast. Stay safe. Good night.